Thaddeus Stevens argued that the states had indeed left the Union and should be treated under international law, he said, as conquered provinces. Well, this was too radical even for most radical Republicans. Stevens, as was often the case, was way out in front of the rest of his party, even of many of the radicals in his party. People could sort of glimpse him on the horizon, but didn't really want to catch up with him in terms of the positions he was taking. Charles Sumner came up with a more moderate idea, another mainstream radical Republican. He said the southern states have, in effect, committed state suicide and have reverted to the status of federal territories. They're still in the Union. They didn't leave the Union, but they ceased to be states. They are now federal territories, which could be admitted to the Union only after meeting all the conditions laid down by Congress. Congress, of course, controls what happens in the federal territories. And so if, by Sumner's thinking, the Confederate states aren't states, but they're territories, that opens the way for Congress to control the process of Reconstruction. Well, even Sumner's idea was too radical for many in the North at the midpoint of the war, although that idea would surface again later. Well, Lincoln knew the radicals were unhappy, but as was his usual pattern, he went ahead with his plan, and he named governors, military governors as he called them, in four occupied states. He named them in Tennessee. Andrew Johnson was the military governor of Tennessee. Johnson had been the only Southern senator from a Confederate state, who remained in the United States Senate after the formation of the Confederacy. Andrew Johnson in Tennessee, and governors also in Louisiana, Arkansas, and Virginia. This is a step forward in presidential Reconstruction. The radicals, meanwhile, urged that Southern black men be given the ballot and land, the two things that would make certain their freedom. That's optimistic, I think, to argue that the ballot and land alone would make certain the freedom and the position of black people in the South. Education, equal access to the courts would be important as well, but nonetheless, the radicals are saying land and the ballot. They subsequently argued, did the radicals, that blacks constituted the largest and truest unionist sentiment in the South. Never mind these pre-war Whigs that Lincoln liked to talk about. You want to know who the real loyal Union men in the South are? It's the freed people, said the radicals. Those are the people we should look to. They have in mind building a long-term Republican presence in the South. If they're going to be the majority party in a reunited nation, they need a Southern wing. And many of the radicals saw the key to that Southern wing in black voters. They said these black men, had won the right to land and the vote by fighting under the United States flag on many battlefields. One abolitionist told a packed lecture hall in 1864, before we leave him, the Southern black man, we ought to leave him on his own soil, in his own house, with the ballot, and the schoolhouse within reach. Unless we have done that, the North has let the cunning of politics filch the fruits of this war. The North in 1864 was not willing to go along with this view. Emancipation was enough for many white Northerners at that stage, but it foreshadowed the path ahead. Well, the approaches of Lincoln and the radicals clashed head-on in Louisiana. That became the obvious battleground. There was an election held in 1864 for a state convention to write a new constitution. There was a division between the radicals and their allies on the one hand and moderate Republicans on the other here. The radicals in Louisiana, which included free black men, wanted a constitutional convention first. Let's get the convention and a new constitution, and then we'll have elections for state officers and for national offices under this new constitution, the right kind of constitution. The conservatives and moderates, and Nathaniel P. Banks fell in that category, said, no, let's have the election for officers first, and then we'll move on to have our constitutional convention and write a new constitution. The debate was over which way to go. The radicals thinking it was important to get a constitution that embodied their ideas in place before you move to have elections. Lincoln threw his support behind the moderates in this debate, and the moderates won out. Banks used his influence as military commander to influence and encourage a moderate victory. the real radical element in New Orleans, for example, was left completely out of the process. Lincoln wanted